Welcome to the Fairhaven Church Sermons Podcast. Fairhaven is a part of Harbor Churches, a multi-site church located in West Michigan, and we exist to help people find their way back to God. We hope this message helps you to take your next step in your faith journey. Thanks for joining us.
Just want to thank you for being here this morning. Grateful that you're here. My name's Greg. I'm one of the pastors here. And in our first service in particular, but this one too, I've noticed some of the families that sit off in the wings once in a while have made their way to the center. The kids did a great job at bringing the parents up front and center. And our kids, honestly, I was sitting there this morning thinking they are doing an amazing job up front. So big hand of applause to them and to the leaders for investing in that this morning. Thanks, Gil. We are in Ruth, a Christmas origin story, and I don't know if you guys feel this once in a while. I do. It's not every Christmas, but it's almost every Christmas for me, that it feels like it sort of sneaks up on us, which doesn't make sense at all, because the date never changes. It's December 25. It's not like that just sneak up on us. And there's always this clue, you have a 10-foot tree in your house, like kind of Christmas is coming, but somehow it's like, boom, and it's here. And Christmas is a really, really big deal. Maybe it's just because the season's so busy, but I think a moment like today and then the next few days, we always get this opportunity to think about, why is it a big deal? Why does Christmas matter so much? And it matters so much because it's the day, or the move of God, if you will, is even a better way of understanding it. The move of God to change the world in your world, in my life, forever, that he would do that. And he made a move on planet Earth with this love in the person of Jesus that caught. And it caught this early group of disciples that were so transformed, it was actually spoken about them that these ordinary, uneducated men are flipping the world upside down. They'd been so transformed by Jesus that the men and women that were following Jesus were making an impact in the world that they were actually flipping it, I would say it this way, right side up. That they were on a mission of love for this world. And Christmas, it tells us a lot of things, but one of them is this right here, that ordinary people who are extraordinarily open to God are the ones that God uses to change the world. Just ordinary people who are extraordinarily open to God. And God often changes the world, not through palaces or power, but through faithfulness in everyday places. That has been the Christmas story that we've been chasing through the book of Ruth. And today we're gonna be in Ruth chapter 4, and this is the last chapter of a 4-week move from chapter 1, 2, 3. Now we're in Ruth chapter 4. And when we think about Christmas through this ancient story, I think we could start to say, what are the signs that Christmas, it's here and it shouldn't sneak up on us? Well, it might be an Advent wreath or lights or trees. Those are the things of Christmas that we could point to. And then, of course, these three right here, a gate, a bench, and a sandal. I mean, like, right? What would Christmas be without a gate, a bench, and a sandal? And what it won't be for us is absent of those three, because you're here today. And we get a look at a text where those three things really, really matter. And so I want to just back up before we read. Just back up a second here, and remember, if you were here last week, the cliffhanger felt a little bit like an iteration of The Bachelor, but the question was raised at the end, like, who will Ruth marry? Come back next week, and you'll find out. And you're here. Like, this is next week, and we're going to find out today, who does she end up marrying? But the key characters in each one of the texts that we're going to be looking at. So chapter 1, there are two key characters in that one, and I'll walk through each one of these quickly. But Elimelech and Naomi were the characters in chapter 1, the two key ones in 1. And they were married. And Elimelech and Naomi were in a place called Bethlehem, or if you were to break that word down, it's Beit Lehem. Beit is the word for bread. Lehem is the word, the Hebrew word for, actually Beit is house and Lehem is bread. So the house of bread was out of bread. There was a famine in the land. Bethlehem had no food, but Moab did. And so Elimelech took Naomi and his two sons, and they made their way over to Moab. And in the land of Moab, they found food for about 10 years being there when Elimelech died and his two sons eventually died, leaving Naomi a widow without her sons, three most important men in her life, gone. Chapter 2. Naomi and Ruth are the two characters in this story, or in this chapter, the two key ones. Naomi and her daughter-in-law, Ruth. And her daughter-in-law, Ruth, looks at Naomi, who says to her, I have nothing left to offer you. I am too old to offer you a son. So to secure our future as two widows in an ancient world where widows had no capacity to earn for themselves, she was sending Ruth away to go back to her own people. And Ruth said, I will not do it. I will not abandon you. I will be with you. And your people will be my people, and your God will be my God. And so Ruth and Naomi make their way back to Bethlehem, believing there is food there for them, and maybe, just maybe, someone would have mercy on them. And it just so happened that when Ruth was in the field, gleaning, taking some of the barley that was being left behind by the harvesters in order to gather just enough so that she and Naomi might have something to eat, she found it just so happened to be a really generous man who owned the field, who just so happened to be Boaz, who just so happened to be a relative of Naomi, a crack of hope in the story, chapter 3. And in chapter 3, Ruth and Boaz are the two main characters, and she finds Boaz to be a man who has cared for her and a man of incredible integrity, who has looked at her story and said, Ruth, you are a woman of incredible integrity, and your sacrifice to serve Naomi is, the story's not been heard. And he reciprocates in like. And Naomi says, wait a minute, I know something about our culture, and he's a relative, and perhaps he will take us under his wing. And she says to Ruth, go present yourself to him for marriage. Will it be Boaz? Thought maybe, and Boaz said, I got you, Ruth, I do. You will not have to worry anymore about provision in your life. But I'm aware of another that's closer in line to be the redeemer of this family. And he has first opportunity to redeem you, take you as his wife, and to restore the land, to secure you. But if not him, I promise you, I got you. I got you. You do not have to worry. Then I will step in. And that leads us to a place where we would wonder, what's going on here? Like, why? She's only been in the barley field for about a month, and then a bit later in the wheat field for about a month. So we got a couple, 2-3 months here. She's already presenting herself for marriage to Boaz, and Boaz says, I got you. And if not me, this other guy. And like, what? Well, there's a Levirate law that we can find in Leviticus 25 that Naomi would have understood because that's her land and her culture, that Boaz would have understood because that's his land and that's his culture, and Ruth might not have because she came from a different people, but she trusted Naomi and went and did as she said. The Levirate law would be this. If you are widowed, then there is someone that is closest kin, closest family member that is to take care of you, to oversee the lineage for your family, to make sure that you're secure and though the line of he who died would continue. It would be called a Goel. And a Goel is a guardian redeemer, depending on what translation of the Bible you have, or a kinsman redeemer, family guardian. I mean, you get it. Somebody that restores, somebody that redeems, the closest in line in your family to make sure that you are well taken care of. And that's where we pick up our story, Ruth chapter 4. And it's about a gate. It's actually about way more than that. And a bench, and way more than that, and a sandal, and way more than that. And so let's read it together. Meanwhile, Boaz went up to the town gate. There it is. He sat down there just as the guardian redeemer, that other guy, because Boaz said there's another that's closer in line. He's the Goel, not me. He's the guardian redeemer, not me. He's the kinsman redeemer, not me. He's the family guardian that he had mentioned came along. Boaz said, come over here, my friend, and sit down. So he went over and sat down. So we have the gate and then the bench. Verse 2. Boaz took 10 of the elders of the town and said, sit here. And they did so. Now, a bench, when you hear that, who sits on the bench? Many of us, our minds probably leapt to, well, that's legal terms. We're talking about who sits on the bench, that the judge sits on his bench. Exactly. 10 of the elders that oversaw the law, they were in charge of the law of the town and said, sit here. So they did so. Let's take a look at this. So here's a rendition of what that might have looked like. And we're talking about a gate. So the gate would have been the place where you entered into the town from the fields. The people working in the fields, moving into the town. It was the center, if you will, of the community. The gate was the center place, and at that center place, there would be social gatherings that would take place there. There would be business transactions that would take place there, and there would be legal proceedings that would take place there. Here's from archaeology a picture of what it would have looked like back in the day, only more perfected. This is dug up. But the gate, you come into the city, and here, encircled here, is the bench. It's where the judges sit. And so Boaz has already summoned the Goel, that kinsman redeemer. You're in line. I told Ruth, I got you. If not him, then I'll step in. And he called him to court, a legal proceeding. He invited 10 of the elders. How many were there? 10 of the elders to take their place on the bench. And then court opens. And it goes like this, verse 3. Then Boaz said to the guardian redeemer, Naomi, who has come back from Moab, is selling the piece of land that belonged to our relative Elimelech. Time out. How is she doing that? Because I thought, like a person that was widowed, a woman that was widowed, had no capacity to make money or to make any means of profit in that ancient society. You're right. So what's that? What he was saying is this, that this land is about to be redeemed. It's about ready to go back to Elimelech's family. He had passed away. It's occupied by somebody else right now. It's about to get restored. It's either you are the Goel, you're the redeemer, or it's going to be me. I promised her, I got you. I thought I should bring the matter to your attention and suggest that you buy it in the presence of these seated here. Doesn't mean it won't cost him to purchase that back, but you got the right to buy it back. And in the presence of those that sit on the bench, the elders of my people, these witnesses and those sitting on the bench, if you will redeem it, do so. But if you will not, tell me. So I will know. For no one has the right to do it except you. And I'm next in line. And what does he say? The Goel says, I will redeem it. I'll do it. So far, so good, right? So he's saying, this land, you have the first line to go out and buy it back for yourself. You're the Goel. It says, done. I'll do it. But court is still in session. He goes, okay. Next. Then Boaz said, on the day you buy the land from Naomi, you also acquire Ruth the Moabite. The Goel's like, wait a minute. The dead man's widow, in order to maintain the name of the dead with his property. And at this, the guardian redeemer said, time out. Then I cannot redeem it because I might endanger my own estate. You redeem it yourself. I cannot do it. Why would he do that? Like, why would he do that? He had this opportunity, and why would he be saying at this point, I can't do it then because I might endanger my own estate at that point? How did that endanger his estate? And the reason is, it's in Deuteronomy chapter 25, 5 and 6, where we learn about more about this Levirate law. And it's, if brothers are living together and one of them dies without a son, that's what happened. Elimelech died, but then both of his sons died. If one of them dies without a son, his widow must not marry outside the family. Her husband's brothers shall take her and marry her and fulfill the duty of a brother-in-law to her. The first son she bears shall carry on the name of the dead brother so that his name will not be blotted out from Israel. So we are talking about Naomi has lost her husband. Ruth has lost her husband. There are no sons to carry on the family name. There are no sons to take this property as their own. And what Boaz was putting before him is, I already made my pledge. I've got you, Ruth. But I'm asking you, the Goel, do you have her? Because the minute she has a son, this land that you purchased back for the lineage of Elimelech becomes that son's property. You will redeem it for her and him. He's like, nope. That'll endanger my state. I'm not doing it. You do it. All right, so here's where we're at in the story. We have a gate. That's the gathering, the social gathering, but also, especially in this case, we have a court of law going on. There's a bench, and on that bench is the elders or the judges that were sitting. And now the sandal. A sandal shows up in the story. Next one. Now, it's in earlier times. This is how it's written. Earlier times. Earlier than the one we're reading. For the redemption and transfer of property to become final. So in order to restore this property to Naomi, to restore it to Ruth, to restore it to that lineage, in order for that to become final, one party took off his sandal and gave it to the other. This was the method of legalizing transactions in Israel. So the guardian redeemer said to Boaz, buy it yourself. And he removed his sandal. Wow. Like, this is a legal transaction. I mean, if you can imagine, he takes his shoe off, takes it off and says, this shoe is now yours. Yours. And what's he doing? It's like, I step into this shoe when I'm going to step into it. And this transaction, I'm not the one to step into this. And he removes his shoe and hands it to him. And Boaz says, then it's mine to step into. I'll do it. Then Boaz announced to all the elders and all the people, today you are witnesses that I have bought, I have stepped into, I have taken this transaction on myself from Naomi, all the property of Elimelech, Chilion, and Mahlon. I've also acquired Ruth the Moabite, Mahlon's widow, as my wife, in order to maintain the name of the dead with its property, so that his name will not disappear from among his family or from his hometown. Today, this is the final word to the court. You are my witnesses. And then the elders and all the people at the gate laid down their verdict. We are witnesses. So be it. It is done. What an amazing story here. And what an incredibly selfless act from Boaz. For Boaz to look and to say, my life isn't just about me. When I see a need that needs to be taken care of, I will step into it. The ways of God are the ways of my life. And the law of God that he read, even if somebody else that is in line to take it won't do it, I will. I promise you, Ruth, I've got you. You and Naomi are secure. If not him, me. And he did it. You are my witnesses. And they say, we've seen it. You took the sandal. We met at the gate. We sat on the bench. We heard your words. We watched you receive the sandal. And now you have stepped into this fully as the Redeemer. You are the Goel, the Redeemer, the Kinsman Redeemer. And we are your witnesses. This next piece is so beautiful. So Boaz took Ruth and she became his wife. And when he made love to her, the Lord enabled her to conceive. There was no guarantee here. And she gave birth to a son that would carry on the family name. The women said to Naomi, praise be to the Lord, who this day has not left you without a guardian redeemer. May he become famous throughout Israel, even to this day. We now know the name Boaz. He will renew your life and sustain you in your old age. For your daughter-in-law, who loves you and who is better to you than seven sons, has given him birth. Then Naomi took the child in her arms and cared for him. Wow. This is Naomi, who looked at Ruth at one point early in the story and said, I have nothing left to offer. My name is bitter. I'm too old to ever give you a son. Our family is done. It's done. Short-sighted, but Ruth said, I'll link up to you regardless. And this Naomi is holding in her arms her grandson. Incredibly beautiful. And the women living there said with exclamation, Naomi has a son. And they named him Obed. And he was the father of Jesse, who is the father of David, who is the king. Eventually, the giant slayer who took out Goliath, became the king of Israel, Naomi's great-grandson. This story, the bottom line of this story is this, that Boaz took responsibility for somebody else. in so many ways. Boaz saw his life as something more than just live it for me. He looked at Ruth and said, I got you. He looked at Naomi and said, you'll be covered. I'll make sure of that. He looked at the Goel and said, this is your responsibility. This is yours to do. And the Goel said, no thanks. Not me. He goes, then me. Then let it be me. Let it be me. To make God's name famous for the generations that come. And then that Ruth would become his own. That God, no guarantees, but that God gave them a son. And that that son then became the rightful heir to all of that stuff. Just such a selfless act of redemption that he gave himself to. And this is just the story of a man. And you wonder, like, how is this that we've been talking about for weeks, the Christmas origins story? Ruth, a Christmas origins story. And it's because of this. Because redemption is the Christmas story. Redemption is all it's about. That the ultimate Goel, the ultimate family guardian, family redeemer, his name is Jesus. And so much more, but in the same vein, but so much more than even Boaz, who selflessly looked and said, I will do this because it's good and it's right. And out of the goodness and the rightness that was him, he moved in that direction, quickly becoming one of my favorite characters in the whole Bible. His name is Boaz. But Jesus selflessly humbled himself. And as Paul wrote to the Philippian church, and became obedient even to death on the cross. What for? Because Ruth couldn't do for herself what Boaz could do. Naomi could not do for herself what Boaz said, I'm in. I'll do it because I can. And what we couldn't do for ourselves, this is the Christmas story. What we couldn't do for ourselves, Jesus said, I know. I got you. I got you. I really do. I've got you. I will. And he gave himself for each one of us. That was the move of the original Christmas story. And that is the move of what Jesus did in a little town called Bethlehem. That house of bread gave birth to the bread of life for you and for me. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the story of Ruth that we see recorded in the scripture, for a man that walked this earth with the incredible integrity that Boaz had, incredible heart, who wanted and so much did resemble your move toward us, that you recorded it for us to be able to read these thousands of years later and to remember there is a redeemer, there is a restorer. His name is Jesus. And in just a few days, we get to come together and to celebrate that. Even now, we bless you, our redeemer. We bless you that you pursued us and you offered yourself for us and you made it really, really, really clear. I really do. I have you and I'm not letting go of you. And for that, we give you thanks. Amen.
Thanks for listening. Our hope is that you are encouraged and that God revealed a piece of his character to you through this message. For service times or for more information about how you can be a part of Fairhaven, you can visit us at fhchurch.org. Have a great week.